Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
The Leslie Science and Nature Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan provides innovative educational programs highlighting the region's flora and fauna. Set on 50 acres of natural landscape in the midst of an urban environment, the center offers engaging, hands-on educational opportunities for school groups and all of the citizens of Ann Arbor. We'll visit with Kathy Evans, the education director, and Sarah Gilmore, the raptor specialist at the Leslie Science and Nature Center. We'll then meet up with Joseph Mooney at the University of Michigan's Nichols Arboretum and Mathai Botanical Gardens. Afterwards, we'll stop in at the Bentley Historical Library for a chat with Laura Zeelan and Karen White. The Bentley is the repository and research facility for the University of Michigan's historical records, archival photographs, and more. The Bentley is also the home of the legendary Detroit Observatory. When the observatory opened way back in 1854, it was the first in the state of Michigan, and the observatory building remains as the second oldest structure on campus. The centerpiece at the observatory is the 1852 German-made Meridian Telescope, one of the world's most sophisticated and advanced instruments in the day. The telescope is still used and remains in pristine condition. Come along, we'll start out our journey at the Leslie Science and Nature Center for a visit with Kathy Evans.
The Leslie Science and Nature Center is a private nonprofit that operates on the grounds and inside the buildings of the city of Ann Arbor here at the Leslie Science and Nature Center in Black Pond Wood.
There's no admission charge, which is wonderful.
Exactly. This is a place that's free to visit. We have hiking trails all through our property. We have our birds of prey and outdoor enclosures that you can visit free of charge. And we also have our critter house where all of our other educational animals are housed. And it's open free of charge on Sundays from 12 to 3.
Where are we right now?
We are in our raptor enclosure area. We're currently right by one of our bald eagle enclosures and our peregrine falcon enclosure and our male barred owl enclosure.
So for a lot of the little kids that we see in the background, they look to be, what, fourth graders, fifth graders?
Mm-hmm. These are third and fourth graders are with us today.
They're getting bigger every generation.
They are.
For some of them, this is their first time they've ever seen a bald eagle or seen a hawk, right?
Absolutely, and it's super exciting for them. This group is wonderful. They're really kind of enraptured right now by the educator that's working with them.
Enraptured by the raptors.
Exactly. And they're learning about these birds for the first time. And this will be probably one of the only times they'll be this close to these birds. Obviously, these birds in the wild would be totally scared of humans and would not allow humans to get this close to them. So this is a real treat for a lot of kids.
This morning, we were on a hike in the woods, and you said for some of the kids, this is the first time they've ever been in the woods, and the woods are a scary storybook place where monsters are.
Here in southeastern Michigan, we are quite a large urban area, and so a lot of kids have grown up listening to fairy tales or watching TV shows, or they might live in areas where going to the park could be a dangerous thing. And so they've grown up with this wariness of the woods, and they don't know what's really out there.
Never been in the woods.
Never been in the woods. And this is their first chance to do that. So a lot of times when we go on trail hikes, we kind of have to talk to the kids before they go on the trail and ask them what they think that they're going to see out there.
And what do they think, some of them?
Oh, we've had all kinds of answers. Anywhere from giraffes to elephants to tigers and lions. And then you'll have some kids that are scared of the native wildlife. A lot of the kids, they've only seen animals on Animal Planet, like when animals attack. And so they think that when we mention white-tailed deer, they get scared because they think the deer are going to attack them. They don't realize that in a natural setting, animals are scared of us. We're the big giants in the woods. So it's kind of a new experience for them. But I will say when they get on the trail, they might be scared, but by the time we're done, they don't want to leave.
How precious. So this really is an epiphanous, transformative day in the lives of these kids right behind us.
Really can be. These are all experiences that they've never had before. And to really see the animals up close, to really experience nature out in the woods, and to get that experience, never having that before, can really transform a kid's life and their whole perspective on the outdoors. A lot of these kids spend a lot of their time inside playing video games, and they think that outside's boring. And this will show them that it's more exciting than all of those video games.
Have you observed any follow-up and had the kids come back that you remember because of that day here?
Absolutely. During the summer, we have 11 weeks, sometimes 12, depending on the length of the summer, weeks of summer camp. And there are kids that have come here for the first time with their class that have never been outside, and they convince their parents to let them come here for summer camp in the summer. And they'll come here multiple times in the summer. They will talk about this experience if they come back with their class the next year. Hey, I was here last year and this is what we learned, and they'll share that with their classmates.
I'll bet you that going forward that you're birthing little biology majors and natural science majors at the University of Michigan.
Sure, that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping to plant those seeds in the kids that will increase their sense of wonder and their exploration and that need to get outside. We would love nothing more than all of these kids to be those burgeoning scientists that will make a difference in our world later on.
That's really touching. This really is a transformative, powerful experience for kids, for our society.
Absolutely. Yeah. We not only do school groups here, but we also have a lot of public programs. There are a lot of people who've never had these experiences either that are in their adult years that have never been able to walk up and see a bald eagle up close or to experience a snake up close or to experience being out in the woods and going for hikes. And so we don't just do school programs for kids, but we'll do public programs and encourage families to come in and really learn and experience and explore together.
Specifics about some of your programs.
We have school programs for preschool through 12th grade. Groups can come out for that. We also take our programs to schools, so we do outreach programs. We offer classes, so usually during the year we'll offer an ornithology course for adults to take. We will do public programs like our Mother's Day Wildflower Hike, where we actually encourage families to come out and explore together and learn all about the wildflowers in the early spring. We do usually send them home with some seeds to plant.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
So that's a lot of fun. We are a monarch way station, and so we are going to be helping to plant more habitat to help increase the monarch population here right at Leslie.
Kathy, we're out of time. I could spend all day traipsing around. There's a giant bald eagle fluttering around behind us.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to come and visit. So we encourage everyone to come out and spend some time here at the Leslie Science and Nature Center.
All right, thanks again. We've been speaking with Kathy Evans, Education Director at the Leslie Science and Nature Center.
For further information, folks can go onto our website at lesliesnc.org.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks.
My name is Sarah Gilmore, and I'm our raptor specialist here at the Leslie Science and Nature Center.
Tell us about the world of raptors.
I work with injured, non-releasable birds of prey, and we train them for education. They are really avian ambassadors for their cousin species out in the wild to learn a little bit more about those predators that we share our world with.
And I was shocked and surprised that your female bald eagle loves the kids and loves public and teaching. That's so cool.
She does love a little bit of attention, and so that is part of the nature of her injury. She's a human imprint, so she more identifies with people than with, say, other eagles. We call it the eye candy, that, what's going on over there?
Great ambassador.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. She really steals the show no matter where she is. And that gives us an opportunity to not just talk about those adaptations and what makes that bird special, but also the conservation message is really, really important, especially for the bald eagle species. And they've had quite a tumultuous history, but we can learn from what happened and talk a little bit more about what we can do and continue to do moving forward.
And you have some other raptors here.
We have, like I said, native species here to Michigan. So we have red-tailed hawks, our turkey vultures, barred owls, eastern screech owls, American kestrels, and peregrine falcons. So there really is quite a diversity of raptors here in the state of Michigan. Michigan. And that's just a small sampling of what folks could be able to come here and see and get a better idea of what's there.
Tell us a little bit more about your educational programs for kids of all ages.
So not only just the kids that are young, but young at heart as well. Our enclosures are open so folks can come and have an experience here and see them. But we also go from 1 to 3 year olds talking about owls and what do they see and what they're doing, all the way up to birthday parties and actually going out to schools and talking about adaptations and observing what these birds are doing and their speed, their grace, but also just that presence they have of being that top predator.
You see firsthand that transformative experience for these kids. They come away with a whole new dimension and appreciation for nature and wildlife.
It doesn't get old when you bring the hawk out of its travel crate and everyone goes, oh, you know, that gasp. It doesn't get old. And the look on their face, that's really what it's about, is they're connecting, they're engaged with this animal. And hopefully they'll continue to pursue that connection and, like I said, continue to look for them and perhaps notice them out in the wild.
For further information, do you have a raptor website?
You can visit our website, lesliesnc.org. My name is Sarah Gilmore, and I'm the raptor specialist here at the Leslie Science and Nature Center.
Thanks, Sarah.
Joseph Mooney with the Mathai Botanical Gardens and Nichols Arboretum at the University of Michigan.
We are at Mathai Botanical Gardens in Ann Arbor with the University of Michigan, so we're technically University of Michigan Mathai Botanical Gardens. We're actually two organizations, Nichols Arboretum, and that's where our national treasure, the peony garden, is. That's the largest collection of heirloom peonies in North America.
Wow, so it's legendary within the flower world.
The flowers are donated by Dr. William E. Upjohn, the founder of Upjohn Pharmaceutical, in 1922, and the garden opened to the public in 1927. So some of the plants have been growing in the same spot they were planted in nearly 100 years ago, and just the garden in general is a testament to the longevity of that amazing plant, the peony plant. The garden's undergoing a multi-year renovation project where we're planting other kinds of peonies and tree peonies and peonies from different countries, but it is quite a spectacular show when it's in full bloom, which it is today.
So this is the go-to collection for peonies.
It is the North America's peony reference site. We have a dedicated website. If you want to know anything about peonies, this is the site you go to.
So you have the botanical gardens and the arboretum.
Right.
Two parallel experiences.
It is. The arboretum is set in a kind of a glacial geographical formation, and it's right on campus. It's sort of between North Campus and the medical campus, so a lot of students and faculty and staff make their way over there. The Huron River runs through it, and then there's lots of other collections of plants that live in Nichols Arboretum.
Great walking, hiking.
Yeah, it's great, and it's a student hangout for sure. Now, the botanical gardens where we are today is off campus. It's about 6 miles east of Central Campus.
But still a part of the university.
But still a part of the university. We've got really interesting gardens. Like a couple of years ago, we installed our Great Lakes Gardens, which is native plants in their habitats. So we've got dune, sand dune, limestone plain, wetland. We've got the perennial garden here, which is a really popular place for weddings. There's the Gaffield Children's Garden over there, which is a great spot for families and kids to hang out in, and it's kind of an interactive garden. We've got the bonsai and penjing garden. There's the herb knot garden, another popular wedding spot. The gateway garden of New World Plants. And then right behind us is the conservatory. That was finished in about 1965.
And I understand when it was finished, it was the largest space like that in the world.
The largest free-span conservatory. At the time, it was a limit, a technological limit of its type of conservatory in the country.
The largest free-span.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Today, it probably remains one of the larger.
It's definitely one of the larger conservatories. It's got three biomes or climates. It's got tropical, temperate, and arid. So we're sitting on the outside of the arid house right now.
What is most exceptional about this facility in the Arboretum?
Well, one thing is this is a university garden, so there's a teaching and learning aspect. So we've got a lot of interns who work here during the summer. We have greenhouses that are used for faculty for research. So there's a sort of educational aspect to it for adults and kids and for students.
I understand that you're in the process of starting a medicinal garden. That sounds really cool.
We are. The medicinal garden garden is going to be opening on August 2nd, 2015, and one of the earliest garden at the Botanical Garden at the University of Michigan had some of those same kinds of plants that were used for medicine. So we're working with the University of Michigan Medical School and the University of Michigan College of Pharmacy, and the plants that are going to be in the garden are clinically tested to be effective in the things that they treat. So it'll be a great learning space and also a really interesting space to visit, just physically to walk around.
Literally, the end use of some of these medicinal plants might be utilized by patients and people.
Definitely. I mean, one example that we really take for granted today is a willow that's used for aspirin, and always has been, the white willow. There's a yew bush that's used as an anti-cancer treatment, and there's many other things in the garden. So I think what the garden is going to do is help us all appreciate how many medicines we do, in fact, get from plants, you know, whether they're still undiscovered in the rainforests of the world or they're still in use today, that it's really quite an amazing number of medicines that we get from plants. And we've also got some really unique spaces. We've got the Bonsai and Penjing Garden. There are other Bonsai and Penjing Gardens in the area, but this one's great because of its size. We've got the Great Lakes Gardens of native Great Lakes plants. That's really unique among botanical gardens. Some children's gardens, so they're very popular today. That's definitely a reason to come out and visit. So we've got this really amazing collection of display garden spaces, and we have natural areas and trails winding through wetlands and uplands and other really interesting environmental ecosystems.
For further information, if somebody wanted to learn more,
they could go to our website, which is mbgna.umich.edu.
Excellent. Jill Mooney, thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Laura Zeeland with the Detroit Observatory and the Bentley Historical Library.
Right now we're at the Detroit Observatory on the University of Michigan's campus. And so the Detroit Observatory is run by the Bentley Historical Library, which is actually an archive, not a library. And we're standing here getting a great tour and learning the history. And for more history and more information, you're welcome to come to the Bentley and go through our collections and our archives.
And what do you specialize in? Is it Americana? Is it Michigan? Is it everything?
We have the history of the University of Michigan and the state of Michigan, historical elements of both.
So this is the go-to place.
Absolutely. To be fair, Lansing, the capital, has an archive, and there are other archives around the state, but we have more than 10,000 collections, and it's incredible.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Karen White at the Detroit Observatory.
I'm the project coordinator. I have the keys to the building, sort of like being the sexton of the church. You know, I close it up, I lock it up, I open it up, and I let it be accessible to people. This is a rare survival from the very earliest days of the campus, and this is where the research university starts for this campus. You can't be a research university, at least in the 1850s, without having an observatory. So despite the fact that it's Michigan and you get more clouds than clear observing nights, you had to have an observatory. They built an observatory. The Northwest frontier. This was a long way away from civilization in the 1850s.
And so you have the state-of-the-art telescopes of the 1850s that are still here.
Yeah, and it's very rare to have state-of-the-art telescopes in Michigan at that time, and it's even rarer to have them survive in their mounts and still usable, because researchers are sort of like hot rod drivers. They're always tinkering with their equipment to make it better, newer, faster. And here we have the original equipment in its original mounts. It's still able to open up and view the skies. And it's a thrill because you get to experience, have the bodily experience of what it would be like to look at the stars in the 1850s through these wonderful telescopes.
Nice. And this is on campus.
It is.
Right on the edge.
U of M students would consider this a long walk from Central Campus, but it's actually very close to the medical campus, and it's right smack in between Central Campus and North Campus.
For further information,
call us at 734-763-2230. If they Google viewing nights at Detroit Observatory, they are welcome to come to a viewing. You don't have to be affiliated with the university. You're welcome to come in.
Is there an entrance fee?
We, of course, love donations. We are founded on donations. That's why it's called the Detroit Observatory. The money came from Detroit.
Nice.
And so, yes, we'd love a donation, but it's more important that people come in and experience the stars in a way that they can't anymore.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks so much for coming. So glad you came.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning.